That's why we celebrate the last, because it's like you were the last person in there. You experienced everything the person ahead of you experienced, right? Like, why not celebrate all of it? And an event built on community like the Mid-South is, it's not necessarily celebratory of just the racing win. People are out there for other personal struggles.
I didn't realize the extent of what that meant to come in last. I just did 100 miles of gravel. And just to feel like I mattered at that point, that was a really humbling experience.
It's like the culmination of the movie. Music would be swelling and people would be cheering. But they created that for the very last person.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a radically inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see.
Come along for the ride.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the All Bodies on Bikes podcast. This is Ellen, and today is the third episode in our three-part series on the Mid-South Gravel Bike Ride. You cannot talk about the Mid-South without talking about their now infamous DFL Dead Fucking Last Party. So we invited two of our favorites on to talk about it. Jared Elder tells his story of the muddy ride that sparked the first party back in 2017, and Beth McBride shares her experience as being the most recent DFL rider. She earned her designation back in 2024, but because the event was canceled last year, she has yet to pass the torch. This year, All Bodies on Bikes has teamed up with the Mid-South and Ride with GPS to host the DFL party, and we are so excited for some of the ideas we have up our sleeve. If you're going to be at Mid-South, come find us and celebrate the last person to cross the finish line with the biggest party and the most joy you have ever seen. Here's the conversation with Beth, Marley, Jared, and me. Let's talk about a DFL party.
To be weird with it, I would not have had the like mental capacity or ability to do any of what I've done in the last 8 years of my life without my first Mid-South experience. So
go on.
For whatever it is, you know.
Let's dig into that.
For sure. I mean, like 2014, Jared had no self-esteem. And like I met some folks, Kyle Kelly and John Watson and Sean Talkington at Interbike in Vegas. And that was like the first little start of me accepting that I am like valuable. And then a few years later, I met Bobby. We were at a dealer event for Salsa, and we were climbing up to like 8,000 feet. And I'm from the East Coast. I was just like choking on glass, right? And Bobby, I knew about Mid-South because it was muddy the year before. And I was like, that looks crazy. I like crazy shit. Well, Bobby said, I know you could do it. I didn't really take that as like a... just come do the ride, bud. I was like, no, this dude fucking believes in me, and I am going to start believing in myself. So hopped on a plane. Mid-South was way small. I think there were like 1,300 people that signed up that year or something.
What year was this? Was this 2015?
17.
2017,
my,
okay.
Yeah, my first Mid-South. So set off. Someone at Salsa sent me a frame. Packed poorly because of the weather. It said it was going to be like 60 degrees and like... maybe a little bit of rain, which is, we know how mid-sized weather is. It's all a lie.
I was going to say, if you started from the East Coast, you'd believe the forecast.
Yeah, yeah, I sure did. It was a lie. So the warmest thing I had was like a 6-inch high thin wool sock. I had some Giro Teraduro shoes. You could blow on them and feel the wind. And knee warmers and arm warmers and like one not waterproof, waterproof jacket. I just packed for worst case scenario, 60 degrees. So overnight, it went down to 33, 34 degrees and raining. I just wore what I had. I had nothing else, right? And so get going. And I met a friend, Matt, goes by Cheese. We like depart and we're just joking about like how we were going to be like dead last because it was like, A, we were almost couched to it. I did a little bit of trainer rides, but Pennsylvania is super snowy back when we had snow. So I was like, I'm mentally prepared, right? Because I had someone tell me that I can do this damn thing that I didn't believe that I could do in most of my life. And I was just like, I'm finishing this thing. I don't really give a shit. Like the only thing that will keep me from finishing is a mechanical. Mile 13, my shoe blows apart, like full, looks like a cartoon. Put eyeballs on it and it's talking to you. Thin socks and a blown shoe and 33 degrees and really, really rainy is not great. We're like hiking up this hill because our bikes are clogged up. Like traditionally, they were giving out mud sticks that year. I broke mine on that first hill, like just trying to get it unclogged. And I did not, you know, you hear this story of this mud, and I don't think people necessarily like understand exactly how nuts it is. It is sandpaper. It is peanut butter.
Clay.
It is crazy. So we're going and it just gets worse and just keeps getting more terrible. And we're just seeing people like side of the road the whole time, like pulling out, right? Like nonstop, like Jeeps are everywhere. It was just absolutely chaotic shit. And we're just making like bad jokes the whole time because we are in pain and you're carrying your bikes that are literally 60 pounds on your back for 4 miles because they're clogged up so bad.
Garrett, I have an important question.
Yeah, what's up?
I've only ever seen Cheese wear sandals. Did he have sandals on for this adventure?
I think he had real shoes.
Okay. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. So we're just like, we're passing people. We're soaked through. Get to the halfway point. There are people hiding under ledges. Like this deluge of water is just coming from everywhere nonstop. Get there. Everyone's pulling out. And I saw Crystal there and Wintle, who also co-founded the Mid-South. And I was just like, I like want to keep going. She's like, we want you to keep going if you want to keep going. So wash the bikes off. I've got no brake pads left and I don't even remember hitting my brakes. So that's just the mud gets in there. It ruins them. That's it. So I have no brakes left. And she's like, how are your brakes? And I remember lying to her and I was like, oh, they're great. They're totally like worst comes to worst. I'm going to throw a foot in the back. Like I was riding fixed anyway. So I don't really care. And we just, we both had it in our heads that like, we're going to complete this thing. Right. Later, we find out that the halfway point, I think like 350 people were waiting for rides from it.
Oh my gosh.
Crystal and Bobby told us later that we were the last two people that were allowed to leave the 50. So we were it, right? We are DFL for life. And I was just like, I want this thing so badly. I'm going to push Cheese across the line first, right? Just so I'm dead last. So we keep going. And I think we said Mud South 150 times in that last like half of the course. I was like, I'm fully empowered, right? Crystal doesn't know my brakes are fucked. I've got socks on my feet. Cheese is here. We're saying random stuff to each other the whole time. Just absolutely wrapped in like joy, but also like both our bodies were for sure falling apart at mile 50. Our like backs were spasming from lifting the bikes for so long. Like your fingers are bleeding. You can't touch your eyeballs because there's dirt in them. The sun goes down. My light dies. And we're at about mile 81. A Jeep pulls up behind us and he's like, did y'all know y'all are dead last? And I was like, no, I had no idea. We just keep jamming. And 82 is when I fell backwards. Rolled my ankle, broke my derailleur, and I snapped my frame. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I've got 20 miles to go. I would just walk it, but like,
that's a long walk.
But you have some dude in a Jeep behind you that's just, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, no, my bike's broken. He's like, take a seat. I'm like, fuck.
Aww.
So I put the bike on the back and hopped in and made it up to the Oasis. And I saw Cheese and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to finish. Like we said, we were going to finish. I was like, I know you can totally finish, dude. So he kept going and I get back to the shop and took a shower at District, had no shoes because they had holes in them. I stayed there until Cheese finished. And then we went to the bar. And I think that's where Bobby and Crystal and Tyler and Austin and everyone else, we all went and presented the steer and they decided to throw a party, right? Because it was the hardest year ever. So I think out of 1,800 people, like 175 people finished that year or something crazy. Oh. It was ridiculous.
Was that the first year that there was a DFL party?
I would think it was the first official DFL party.
So that is like the spirit that you had of I'm gonna do the thing.
Mm-hmm. That's why we celebrate the last, because it's like that person that like you rode, you were the last person in there. You experienced everything the same person like ahead of you experienced, right? Like why not celebrate all of it? And an event built on community like the Mid-South is, right? It's not necessarily celebratory of just the racing win, right? People are out there for other personal struggles, right? Like I continue to go back because of it helped me do something in my life every single year that I've ridden the Mid-South. And I think that's what like the takeaway from it is, it's not just a bike event for racers. Yes, there is that, right? But it is an event that celebrates every single person that rides it in that, right? Bobby is there hugging people. Everyone at District loves the entire community that shows up the entire time. There isn't that type of magic and joy that exists at other events, like in that kind of scale, right? It just can't. And I think it's just Bobby showed me what heart is. That's the craziest gift. So
do you know what's funny though, is there are a lot of events that try and emulate
DFL and the community spirit. And it's like there is a magic around Stillwater and around the community of folks that Bobby and Crystal and that whole crew has cultivated it that can't be replicated. And I almost feel bad because other events are trying and they're like, Marley, bring all bodies on bikes. We're going to throw a party. And I'm like, no, we're not. We're doing it in the South and that's where we're doing it.
Yeah. And the thing is too, it's like, it's because it was all organic, right? Mm-hmm. No one was trying to make this thing be a thing. It just became the thing that it was. Like, there's no world that you can replicate or recreate that magic because it wasn't something that was contrived. Like, it just happened, right? If all of that bad shit the entire day didn't happen and there were so few finishers, would it have been as celebratory? It certainly wasn't as necessarily as celebratory, like, in the same fashion the next year when it was dry. But I think that in the same thing, there's still pain in that dryness, right? Everyone has a different feeling of it. So like, why not continue to celebrate that, right? We're not just celebrating wins from a whatever standpoint. Everyone has personal struggles and personal wins, and being able to celebrate the last person rolling across the line and show people that there's value in just fucking existing, like that is what's up.
The DFL isn't about you've got the quote unquote worst time. It's about we were all here for different reasons and you finished it. You did it. You are as awesome as the first person to have crossed this line. Let's party.
Absolutely.
Let's celebrate that.
Which,
go ahead, Marley.
Oh, I was going to say, so since Jared's non-DFL, DFL win, not win, whatever you want to call it in 2017.
So
acknowledgement.
In my brain, you're DFL. Well, like, there's a reason we reached out to you for this episode because in my brain, you are DFL. So since that time, it has gotten a little bit more formalized for the last, I guess, 2 years. And again, this year is our third year. All Bodies on Bikes is working with Mid-South and Ride with GPS to throw an official party. And just something you just said, Jared, you can't plan for it. It's an organic thing. We're realizing how true that is because it's like, what time do we tell people to show up? We have no idea. So it's like, we're going to start the party at a certain time and we're going to keep the party going for a long time because we don't know. Yeah. Somebody could be there at 10 p.m. They could be there at 3 a.m. We have no idea.
But I think that actually adds to the authenticity of it is if you're going to show up to the DFL, you need to be ready to party possibly until 3 a.m. as much as you would party at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, up. You are here in spirit. That person will be celebrated at the same level as if it were 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Everyone that crosses the line, there's always like a micro party, right? Like,
yes.
Everyone's got like either the Bobby hug or your friends are there waiting for you, like. On several occasions, like, that was it for me. There were, like, I had folks that I consider family that are friends at the line that were there to watch it happen. And that is just as magical. But in the same breath, like, seeing everyone knows what it felt like to be put in a place of discomfort and move through that discomfort into a place that allows us to finish that race. And that's what we're celebrating, right? Like, we are celebrating our power inside of ourselves in crossing that line. And that's what it's always been.
Beth, hop in here. What was it like for you?
Yeah, so I think for Mid-South too, I went into it knowing that I wanted to finish it, right? And I knew it was going to be hard work. But in my heart, I'm like, this is a place that I want to do my first century ride. And just, I didn't know much about Mid-South, honestly, going into it. What I knew was what my ABOB teammates had told me about it, that it was just like this amazing event, this community event, this like very like loving gravel community. Up until that point, I had been riding. I was on the 2023 ABOB gravel team, but I had never been able to actually ride a century ride. And truly, that was my goal, was to be able to do a gravel century at some event. And I'm slow. I'm still slow, right? And it just was never like an option. And when I heard there truly is no cutoff time, I'm like, this is my time to do it. And I'm not going to be feeling like awful for being so incredibly slow. I'm just going to go and do it. So I think like even crossing that finish line, I knew there was going to be a party, right? I didn't realize the extent of what that meant to come in last. And I think I talked about this before. Like when we got into town, the Jeeps had lined up and they were like flashing their lights on and off at us. They were throwing firecrackers at us. There's people running down like the sidewalks as we came into town, you know.
Oh my gosh.
It was like a really amazing experience to feel like I was worthy of that. I walked for sure, but I just did 100 miles of gravel. And just to feel like that I mattered at that point, that was a really humbling experience. It's funny because a lot of the photos for me, I'm just like ugly crying. I look so awful, but it was an overwhelming experience. And by far, I think that probably is my favorite experience ever, being on gravel. And it's something that I will carry forever, being there at that finish line. So,
yeah, I had a similar experience when I was DFL. It feels like a fever dream. I don't know about you, for you, Beth, but for me, when I realized I was DFL, I knew that there was going to be a party at the end. And so I like took a minute on that single track section I turned off all my lights. There were no Jeeps around me. And I just breathed for a minute. I was like, this is the last time it's going to be quiet. I'm going to like appreciate, I actually have goosebumps talking about it, but just soak this in for a minute, because it does become so overwhelming when you're that last mile into town where the sheriff has its lights on, you can hear the finish line people, and it feels like a dream. Like I don't know how, but I had the wherewithal to like record sound from when I was coming into town. And sometimes I'll re-listen to that and I'm just like, what is this magic?
It's like the culmination of the movie. It sounds like a movie. The montage would have this, the music would be swelling and people would be cheering. And
yes,
but they created that for the very last person.
Yeah.
I truly,
and then dumping champagne.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just pissed about people. I've always seen the champagne spray for winners, and people don't know how to spray champagne. They like spray it once and then they just dump it on your head. And I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm hungry, I'm tired, and now I smell like booze. Cool.
And now I'm sticky.
Yeah, I totally had a lot of champagne all over me. Everything was just sticky. But I felt bad being in Marley's car because I was just drenched in champagne.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I truly can't wait. Last year, I was so excited, right, to be there for the DFL. So it was sad that we didn't get to experience like the next person last year. But I'm super excited about it this year. I can't wait to see who it is. I can't wait for us to be there to welcome them in, because it's just going to be amazing. I'm excited to be on the other side, right? I'm going to welcome that person in. So
we have some really fun things up our sleeve now that I'm like in with the organizer. So obviously we're throwing the party again, but the technology on the tracking side has gotten so good that like Ride with GPS is planning to basically, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, and I don't want to talk it up too much in case it doesn't happen, but essentially have a live tracker on the last person. So folks at the finish line can see, cool, they're 10 miles out. Cool, they're 5 miles out. And we're working on this now, but our hope is for the last, like when they hit that 10 mile mark, that we're going to do free beer for the next hour or however long it takes for them to get into town. So really trying to garner support for people to come down to the finish line. And then hopefully if they listen to me, and I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this, Beth and Jared, but they're going to send a media person out with that follow Jeep to just capture what it's like to be the last person and to come into town. Cause that is seared in my like core memories as one of the most special things I've ever experienced. And I think to be able to capture that for a wider audience is going to be really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I think I even had mentioned to Bobby too, I'd love to go out like on course and follow that last person, because I know what that feels like, right? And you have to wonder too, I felt this too, that being the last person, I also felt like the Jeep folks were great, but I still felt that weirdness.
Jared, you were talking about your back spasming. For me, my back was also spasming. And so I would stop and stretch and take my time. And I just tried to operate as if there weren't a bunch of Jeeps following me. But at one point, the Jeep kind of crept up and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I'm fine. I'm just taking a minute. But I felt bad because I felt like I was wasting their time. And they're like, no, we live for this.
I feel that. Here's some caution though. Don't let them see you squirming. I feel like they love pulling people out. They're like, oh, do you just need like a lift? Huh? Do you want a ride?
They live for helping you. And if you say I don't
but
help.
It's help. I feel that, right? I'm with that. That's fine. But it also just feels like maybe they want to pull you out the course.
Yeah. They're ready to do their job so much that they're
I know. Leave me alone.
The opposite of what that the spirit is. I did want to ask though, I think, because what I was going to ask is it important that there is no time limit on the race in letting you enjoy it and letting you feel like it is okay to be DFL? But that feels in contradiction to what you are all saying now is, well, now there is actually some pressure on those last 10 miles. There's some pressure on this person to be on or to be filmed for those last few miles. So is that, how does that all fit?
It doesn't. I wrestle with it. At the same time, like for me, and I thought about this when I was finishing, it's cool. I know that I'm the last person. If I have to quit for some reason, is there somebody in front of you, a mile ahead of you, 2 miles, 10 miles? Are there still other people on the course? Obviously, there's nobody behind you, but it's like there is this amount of pressure that it's, well, shit, I'm last. If I quit, is there even going to be a DFL party? If I decide to pull the plug, are all the Jeeps going to say, okay, bye, we got to zoom ahead to who's ever next? And so I think that definitely plays with your psyche a little bit once you do figure out that you are the last person. At the same time, though, I think a little bit of motivation to, hey, finish your damn ride, get into town, like, it's time. I think that's okay to have a little bit of pressure there.
What about you, Beth?
I think the pressure maybe is a little bit of a good thing, right? Yes, we're there to take our own time, but I also think you want to get it done, right? And you don't want to just linger just because. Let's get your race done. You're 10 miles out. Let's go get it done and finish the race. Put a little effort into it.
That's a horrible effort. You just rode 90 miles.
Put that up. Yeah, depending on how many hours you've been out there, 13 hours, 14 hours.
I think we all, like we all know what's left in the tank, right? So like, why not drain that thing in the last 10?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely feel like I picked it up a little bit after the single track. The single track was really hard because it was dark and going into Mid-South, I really didn't have any like skills. So I was terrified. And I don't know if you all know this, but Crystal actually walked with me through the single track with a ginormous like lantern lighting the way. So we walked the single track. Wow. She came with me. Yeah. So after the single track, I'm like,
we're like, why is this taking so long? Is
Beth okay? I know. Well, and just to let you know, that made me actually like start getting better skills, right? And better handling skills. So a good thing came out of it. But I did feel, let's get this done. This is exciting. I know I'm going to finish. Let me just put a little bit more effort, a hard effort, and let's get it done. So,
yeah. I have a question for Beth and Jared. Because obviously you knew that this, your ride was going to take a long time. I did. I was prepared to be out there for 12, 14, 16 hours. What do you tell yourself when you're at like hour 8 or 9 and you're like, oh my God, I've been out here forever. I still have to keep going. Is there something that you tell yourself to keep going? Do you chug a Coke? Do you eat an edible? Do you smoke a cigarette? Like what keeps you going?
What happens? I said I should try an edible on the bike sometime. You might want to cut that. Maybe in Mid-South.
I recommend it.
Yeah. Since Mid-South, I've done a lot of longer rides, longer races. And I think the big thing is when it gets really dark and horrible, like I just try to remember that I do enjoy riding bikes. There's joy in it, right? And there's that sense of accomplishment of, hey, I don't feel like this typical cyclist. It was another athletic growing up. And I like the idea of being able to finish something that I start and to really truly think I can do this, get it in my head that I can do it, right? So it's just that self-belief of I want to get it done. And granted, I've DNF'd events since then.
What does DNF mean?
I didn't finish a number of gravel events since that point, but it was really for legitimate reasons, right? I really worked hard of thinking, should I quit? Can I quit? If I quit, how am I going to feel about this the next day? And that's another way of looking at it. If you quit now, when you wake up tomorrow, how are you going to feel about your decision to quit? Right? So
I think that's really good advice. Yeah.
What I kept telling myself was like, you're enough. You're enough. You're enough. You're worth it. But I think we all can kind of like think that on the ride. We are enough and we're of value and like it is worth it to complete that and know that you can complete it, because I think that puts us all in a position to attack things in our life from a daily standpoint. Like we all know that we can do these things because we did this hard thing. And that's why I said like I have to go to Mid-South almost every year, because I need that reset to know that I can accomplish the things that I choose to accomplish in life.
And I want to talk a bit about how that helps more riders choose Mid-South at all, because that's something that we talked about on a couple of previous episodes. It's like not putting an end time on a race is what can help it be more inclusive. How does that influence why you choose Mid-South? Yeah, like obviously it's also just a vibe, but what does that do for opening the sport up to more people?
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for folks like me and a lot of other people who can do it, but we're just slow, right, in the eyes of the cycling community. So I definitely, when I get a chance, when I meet new cyclists who are like, oh, we want to do a big event, we can't because we're so slow. I'm like, you really should look at Mid-South. And this is probably the best spot for you to go do your epic goal that you want to get done, right, on the bike. And you're going to be celebrated for it. And you're not going to be coming across the finish line where they're taking all the banners down and everybody's gone and all the food trucks are gone. This is the place to do it. It's going to be hard work, but you can definitely do it. And then you can be recognized for that hard work that you've done out in the bike.
That's incredible.
I wanted to add, you asked about what do you think about when you're out there and you're going into those deep, dark places. Something else I think about, and I've been thinking about it a lot more, is just the fact that I have that ability to be out on my bike. And it's hard work, but look what I can do. Like, I have that ability. We're never promised tomorrow, right? We're never promised our health. We could die the next day, right? And it sounds morbid, but I think that helps me, like, appreciate, look, I had resources to buy this bike. I had resources to come to this event. My body works. I'm healthy. Like, I want to be out here and enjoy the movement that comes from my body. So that's been a big piece of, like, my cycling since Mid-South, since I DFL'd, is just look at the opportunity that I have to be out here and to meet people, right? That's another part of being at Mid-South. I love everybody I've met. I have friends across the country now because of Mid-South. Mm-hmm. I am definitely not doing the 100 this year. Piggybacking on. Yeah. I decided, like, I just actually want to have a little more fun at Mid-South this year.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, 50 is fun, right? And I'm hoping that I can just chat more with people. And I'm not looking to go prove something, I think, this year. I just want to be involved in the community and ride my bike and stop and take photos if I can and meet new people and find the people that need a little encouragement on the course.
So do you have encouragement planned in your back pocket? What do you have ready for?
Yeah, my biggest thing is I just like to talk to people, right? Like, where are you from? Is this your first event? I am not the person that's going to be like, you're looking great. Keep on climbing, doing good. If you can have a conversation, that's what I want to do. I want to know about you. As long as they're comfortable doing it, right? Some people won't want to be like carrying on a conversation on the bike, but
everyone listening, prepare your life story for when you're
ready. So here, like, I've done the 100 a couple times and I've done the 50 once, and the 50 feeling versus the 100 feeling are way different in a lot of ways. But on the 50, I had a different vibe, and I'll touch a little bit on that. But so I was getting passed by skinny white dudes, right? And I say this as a non-skinny, very tall, but very white dude. They were just like, oh, you can, like, keep going. You can do this. And it wasn't from, like, a place of belief. I was so pissed off on the 50 miler. And I'm like, I've done this 7 fucking times, dude. Cause I was just like getting these dudes and people just like coming at me with this, like looking at me, right? Like, I'm 6'3" and 340 pounds.
So glad you're here.
Just yeah,
look
right?
How great you're doing.
By number 5, I was just like, oh, I know the pattern. I started doing it back. I was like, yeah, you could totally do this. It's not that hard. I've done the 100 miler 7 times or something. And man, you should see their fucking faces change whenever you throw that out at them. That was a different feeling.
I think it's akin to how when you see someone with a flat, don't walk up and just start changing it for them, right? Like, don't assume that they aren't, that they don't have it handled. Talk to them, to Beth's point. Like, what's your story? What can I learn from you? Not sitting there saying, you don't look like me and therefore I'm here to tell you all about it. There's a big shift in those mindsets.
Take care of one another, but don't be splaining everything.
Any final thoughts before we wrap?
I am so excited for the DFL party, and I'm so excited to welcome in the last person, whomever that is this year and whatever time that is. Like I said, last year I was so excited for it too. So now my excitement is like twice as big. I can't wait to be there with Marley.
Yay.
Welcome in the newest DFL. So super stoked for it.
It's going to be so fun.
Fantastic. Thank you both for being here and sharing your stories.
Yeah. Pray for rain.
I don't know about that.
I don't listen. It just rain all day, stop raining for the party, and then everyone gets, it would just be weird. I just want a reason. I don't know. I still want that mud. Everyone hates me for it, but I want that mud year.
Okay.
So. It definitely makes for better stories.
You heard it here first. If it rains all day, it's Jared's fault.
Yep.
Find him at the DFL party. Let him know how you feel about this.
No broken bikes. I'm riding steel these days.
Heck yeah.